Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
No, it's not Cyndi Lauper. It's not Cyndi Lauper, Chris. This is a heart. Barracuda, right? Did I get that right?
Yeah, I knew it was Barracuda.
I was trying to make Abdallah laugh in here. It worked.
Well, I mean, listen, we're all going to be out of a job at the end of today for this lack of content that we're providing. Hopefully we've got 2 hours to redeem ourselves. We've got Bears conversation right now. Later, I got to get this bet in because I think they're giving money away at at Guaranteed Rate Stadium. I think it's going to be a dinger festival down there, and I think we need to put some money down. So at some point before 6:10 first pitch, guys, I need somebody to help me make a bunch of bets on my DraftKings app. Okay. With that in mind, our good friend Dan Wiederer of the Trib joins us right now, not only to talk about the Chicago Bears. I just want to send a shout out to Dan and to all the homeschoolers out there. It is Friday, people, and I'm sure this has been an exhausting week for all of you. So I tip my cap to you. I have the smartest person in my house is a 17-year-old, almost 17, and she e-schools herself. But I know all the fine people out there that are going through this and also working at the same time. It's been a grind. So, first of all, Dan, welcome to the program, and a shout out to you for having to get through the first week of homeschooling.
So, Tommy, some breaking news here on the show. My son has actually been in-person schooling for the entirety of this week and 2 days of last week.
All right.
And it has been
glorious.
Glorious for all four people who live under this roof.
Oof.
It has been great for everyone, and so far we've survived, and I am rooting for this is like the fifth play of the first drive of the first quarter. We got a long way to go, but we're off to a good start.
You know, and I have such compassion for everybody. I'm joking, but I'm not joking, because this is so hard. I know my wife has been in contact with Allie, Sylvie's wife, and they've got two young boys, and trying to get to it. It's just really hard for people. And listen, not everybody is a teacher. So I have a lot of compassion for people. So shout out to you. You've made it to Friday. And Dan, congratulations that your son's actually going to school in person, and that burden has been lifted from you.
No doubt. And to echo your sentiment, you know, the every age group has a different demand.
Yes.
And so if you've got multiple kids of different age groups, it is a absolute cluster bleep. And we're going to have to row the boat as long as we can.
Yes. Dan, we'll get to your fantastic article about Brian Urlacher here in a minute. But first, I think it's most important to get your thoughts on where the Bears are scheduling wise. Obviously, together, they decided that yesterday wasn't the day to have practice. What are they doing today and going forward? What does their schedule look like?
Yeah, so today we were closed off at Hales Hall today, but they had a walkthrough and some meetings up there. My assumption is that tomorrow when they go down to Soldier Field at noon, which normally would have been their third preseason game tomorrow, that we're going to see a lot of high-octane football played, right? Some live tackling, I'm assuming, some up-tempo competition, a lot of that dress rehearsal type stuff that you need to get done before you go play a real regular season football game in 2 weeks. And so tomorrow's a really big day, I think, for everyone in the Bears organization. Obviously the quarterbacks, obviously guys on both sides of the ball, and then they'll be off Sunday. And so when you really look at it, we've talked a lot about the time crunch that this team has been under to try to get themselves ready for week one. And this week did them no favors, dating back to last Sunday with the COVID testing scare. And then, you know, you get your regular days off, and then you squeeze another day off in yesterday to talk about the racial issues going on in our country. And all of a sudden, the time crunch is even a little more intense, right? And so I think we have to continue to emphasize just how much work this team has on its plate and how little time they have to get it done. And it's very worrisome if you're trying to go win a football game in Detroit in 16 days.
Dan Wiederer from the Trib, our guest on ESPN 1000, Waddle and Sylvie. Dan, Mitch was supposed to work with the ones yesterday. The practice gets canceled, obviously. He will. I'm assuming he will work with the ones on Saturday, or has the schedule changed? And how do you feel? Like, Mitch was coming off a practice, I believe, that you guys described as a difficult one for him and maybe Nick Foles' best practice. Does that pause in the action change anything from your perspective?
Well, I do think that Mitch was deprived of opportunities yesterday, right, to sort of respond to the good day that Nick Foles put together the previous day on Wednesday. And so now all of a sudden it's a little bit more of an uphill climb for number 10. And he has to, as we've talked about over and over and over again, he has to instill some sense of confidence in this coaching staff that he is a markedly better quarterback than he was a year ago, for them to put him in the driver's seat of this of his party bus when this thing gets on the road here in a couple of weeks. And so every time that you are deprived an opportunity to do that, it gives you more work to do. And so we'll see where this thing heads. I would assume tomorrow that they'll have things structured in a way that is heavily competitive for both quarterbacks and really sort of almost a bit of a closing arguments type of deal, where these guys are going to have to kind of show where they're at in their respective developments and progress and give that progress report. But, man, Nick Foles' day the other day was the first day where you felt like, okay, that was clicking a little bit. He seemed settled and he was making the right decisions and the throws were on target. And you say those are the types of things that help the coaching staff go to sleep at night. And that's what they're looking for right now, is a guy that can help them sleep.
We really enjoyed our discussion with you and six of your peers when we had this kind of this judges table with regard to this quarterback competition. At the end of it, obviously we didn't get a chance to talk to you about it. The final tally was that Nick Foles was ahead in the competition, but four out of seven of you decided that regardless of that, Mitch was going to get the start on opening day. And my first guttural, if that's the right word, reaction was, why in the world would you start someone who lost a competition?
Correct.
So that to me, then it's really not a competition. If you take a step back now and you kind of evaluate what you were a part of and what you heard, what is your response?
Well, I'm 100% with you that if you are going to declare this an open competition and judge it on a daily basis and then comprehensively at the end of it, what you are looking to do is to declare a winner, and that winner wins the starting job. That winner gets his name written on the QB1 line of your depth chart, and away you go to Detroit, right? And so this idea that they would declare a winner and then say, but hold up, we're going to go with the runner-up just because it'll be easier to pull him and put in the other guy later, that's flawed thinking. I just don't see it happening for a team that absolutely has to win football games in 2020 to keep a lot of people employed. And so they have to go to Detroit with the mindset of which guy allows us to get back on the plane and come home at 1-0. And that's the only thing that matters at this point.
And you think tomorrow is a really important day for that competition?
I think so. And you know, in addition to all of the other topics that are going on this week, well, we really wanted to sort of drill down with Matt Nagy yesterday to get a better feel for what he wants to get out of tomorrow and for how he's going to structure it. And we didn't get a chance to talk to him. They canceled all their availability. They had no availability today. So flying blind a little bit into how this thing's going to be structured. But like I said, I think that they want to turn this into a, you know, faux preseason game of sorts and allow these guys to feel real football and to try to structure it in that way as much as possible and then see where it leads us.
Dan, I've gotten the impression, listen, I played for the organization a very long time ago. I have a lot of respect for Virginia McCaskey and George McCaskey and all of the McCaskeys that I was interactive with. I think they're really good people. I think that George has been very involved in trying to push for the right causes. And on social media, I see the players speak about a very unified message that's going on inside their building and how tight they are as an organization. Do you get the same impression that everybody, players, coaches, front office, ownership, they're all pulling on the same end of the rope here?
I'm always cautious in a football building to say everybody, because you know how big a football building is and how different viewpoints can be in there. But I echo everything you said, that I do think that they have made a conscious effort to push their efforts in the right direction. And now I think with the statement we saw from the players yesterday afternoon, you have to follow that up, right? It can't just be a colorful, splashy statement on Twitter. You have to go out and sort of create an action plan and then follow up with that action plan. And we'll see where they head in that direction. I know since they started the Social Justice Committee a few years ago, they've done a lot of very productive things in the community. They've stayed involved. They've got players who are making an effort to have a more active voice to go out and help organizations and communities that are underprivileged and need help. And so in that regard, I do think that there is some very, very positive momentum that should be applauded, and we'll see where they can take it from here.
There's been questions about whether or not the NFL, and I don't have any hint of this, but maybe there was some whispers that a couple of the bigger names and more prominent players in the league have floated the idea of possibly protesting a game or postponing a game, rather. Have you heard any of that? Not just with the Bears, but across the league.
Yeah, I have not. I have not to this point. I can't say that it's not out there, but it's not, nothing has come off on my radar to this point.
All right. Before we let you go, you wrote a great article about Brian Urlacher, and one that obviously I'm sure your Twitter, your mentions were, you know, I don't even know what to say other than God bless you. But I give you the floor for what you wrote about with Brian and how difficult maybe this article was to write, or how difficult the conversation is for people who love this team and loved Brian as a player.
So I'll take this in a couple different paths. I know that when I pressed the send button and when we finished editing it last night, I came downstairs and walked in the kitchen and told my wife, I said, man, that was sort of an intense experience, because you're talking about a civic icon, right? And you're talking about a very hot button issue. And you're talking about a guy who's so very well regarded by the city for so long. And now all of a sudden you got a lot of people scratching their head and hurt by some of the sentiments that he communicated. Obviously when you get teammates, former teammates who were close with him, both on the record and off the record, saying, man, this really, really rattled me. This really crushed me. It's a big deal. And so there was an intensity and a gravity to this whole thing that I don't even know that Brian intended, right? You know, sometimes on social media, you just click something, you say, oh, I like that, whatever, and you don't give it enough thought to realize exactly what you are putting out there for the entirety of the world to see about who you are and what you believe.
Right.
Look, everyone's going to have differing viewpoints on this. And so one of the things I've tried to do with folks that have engaged me via email and or Twitter is say, I'm open-minded. My ears are open. I'm willing to listen to other perspectives and other thoughts on this. I think what rattled a lot of people was that heart on the meme of a 17-year-old kid with an assault rifle who killed two people the other night, and this sort of, I guess, rush to rally behind that. And I think that stops a lot of people and go, whoa, what exactly are we saying? What exactly are we trying to do? Now, my counter argument to that would be, look, it's the same for anyone that would also sort of try to find justifiable reasons to defend people who are looting or burning down buildings or destroying property. You have to stop yourself and say, just because I'm on one side of an issue doesn't mean I have to be 100% behind anything that's on this side of that line.
Right.
And so I'm hopeful that all of these things do create discourse, that they do create an ability for us to have conversations on where we're coming from, why we're coming from it, and not just sort of this shouting match to yell at the other person and tell them they're wrong and they need to go where they need to go and never come back, right?
It's kind of like there's two comments there. I mean, like, or thoughts, in my opinion. There's, like, listen, Brian, like every American, has every right to say, to have whatever political feelings he has, to say whatever he says. But your words do have consequences with people that you do interact with. And some of what he said, obviously, or liked or did, was hurtful to people that were very important in Brian's life for a very long period of time.
And that's it, Tommy. That's why this became a big story, is because it was so divergent from the Brian that coaches and teammates and front office execs and everyone in that building at Halas Hall felt and experienced with him for the duration of his career in Chicago, which was 13 seasons and included a trip to the Super Bowl. And so there is this impression of what they felt. And then all of a sudden you're asking yourself, was that all real? Or, you know, is there something I didn't know? And so, you know, eventually I think this circles back to Brian hopefully having the courage to explain what he was trying to convey and communicate. Hopefully he had conversations with those that he was close with. You know,
right.
I think of a guy like Thomas Jones, who, if you follow Thomas on social media, he's very outspoken on a lot of these issues. But Thomas is also one of the most thoughtful, introspective, engaged, willing to have a conversation guys that you'll ever find in sports. And I know him and Brian, they were in the same draft class. They were drafted one pick after one another. And they have this great relationship. And I would hope that at some point, you know, they would have that conversation on what exactly were you trying to say?
You know, and Dan, you know, it's funny because, like you mentioned that, like Brian, one of the guys who will always speak most glowingly about is Thomas.
Right. And, yeah. And so I'd just be curious. And I just, you know, you get these vibes from guys on you know, what's happening here? What exactly is Brian trying to convey? And what does this mean? And how does the organization respond to this? You know, Brian spoke to the 2020 Bears as a guest speaker on Zoom during organized team activities a few months ago. So he's obviously still held in very high regard as an influential voice in the organization. And now you've got 80 players in that building going, I don't know that I want to listen to everything that he has to say if he's not receptive to some of the things that mean a lot to us and some of the causes that we are trying to shine a light on. And so really, again, I go back to, we can shout each other down and say, you're wrong, I'm right, I'm going to be dug in. But hopefully conversations help people with an open mind to see all of the gray areas in the middle and not just rush to one extreme or the other and just start shouting at one another. And it's really difficult. As you know, you guys have done a lot of radio this week trying to walk that balance game. And it's not easy, and we've all got to make sure that we keep our focus on these things just so that we don't get into situations where all of a sudden we've got civilian militia feeling like they need to go patrol the streets.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. That was really unsettling to kind of feel that. I know people disagree. It is what it is. But again, I think because of who Brian is, who he has been in the city, I think it just really surprised and made a lot of people feel taken aback, and we'll see where it heads from here.
I thought it was very well written. I thought it was very balanced and fair, and you know, and I tip my cap to you for writing it. Enjoy your final day watching this Bears team practice prior to kickoff of the regular season tomorrow.
No doubt. It's crazy because I was just starting to get in the groove of watching this team practice and learning a little bit about who they are, and now all of a sudden we're going to get the closed sign on the door tomorrow afternoon at about 4 o'clock, and then we're going to just have to wait for real football on September 13th.
Yep. All right. We always appreciate your time, Dan. Enjoy the weekend, my friend. Great work.
You too. Have a great weekend.
Dan Weider from The Trib, one of our teammates here at ESPN 1000. Always love our conversations. Hey, when we come back, we'll continue the football conversation. If you have thoughts about it, I see Kyle in River West has quarterback thought, 312-332-3776. We got some time. Talk a little football, including what I have right here in my hand is a ranking of all 32 teams by training camp performance. And I bet you can guess where the Bears fall in relative fashion. That's next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I know we're going to talk football right here, but I, you know what? I've got all kinds of people tweeting us about they're on board with the Dinger Festival.
Dinger Fest
2020. Like, I'm trying to get my bets in before first pitch down at Guaranteed Rate Field, and I can't. I forgot my login stuff.
Wait. Abdallah just set you up yesterday.
Why didn't you hit the facial recognition?
I didn't even know that was exactly. I didn't know that was. I didn't.
Oh, see. Okay.
Use your face.
Do I have to have a capital or something?
On your face?
Yeah, like capital.
You don't have to have a capital face.
I'm so distressed right now. Because, I mean, they're giving money out. They're giving money out in this game.
And I hit dingers.
I mean, they are giving money away. Give me some, you know, do you want to do football or you want to satiate my desire to
Well, you
to,
need to sign
money?
In.
You got to sign
Next
in.
Next break, you got to help me sign in. All right, I got an article in my
How does Abdallah know your password?
He set it up for me.
I don't know your password. I handed you back the phone to put in your information.
Ranking all 32 teams.
Did you try Wad Dog?
I did not. No.
Wad Dog 1?
Nope.
Did you try 8787 exclamation point?
No, I did not. That's not it. That's not it.
That's not it.
You can open my phone, the password on opening my phone maybe in that neighborhood, but not on my DraftKings account.
See, you shouldn't be telling people that.
What about
they know that.
Touchdown for days. Is that your password?
No,
touchdowns for days.
SB champ exclamation point.
Yeah.
I got the poop knocked out of me.com. Ranking all 32 NFL teams by training camp performances by Cody Benjamin. Where'd this article come from?
CBS Sports.
CBS. Like, get in line, haters. Like, hey, they got a big group of people that hate the Bears. Where's the line start?
Did they talk about this 7-10 this morning, Cap and Jay Hood?
I don't know. I was at therapy for my shoulder.
Doesn't Cap come in before Danny and block all the articles that are anti-Bears so you can't see them?
Yeah.
Did Cap take his shirt off for the Twitter people today?
I don't think so.
No, gonna say no. The Twitch people?
NFL power rankings are one thing. NFL training camp power rankings are another. First of all, who do you think's number one? Or do you guys already look?
My guess would be the Ravens.
They are. And, like, really? I really like the Ravens, but, like, how do you not... this is just what's gone on so far in training camp. Like, how do you not have... The Kansas City Chiefs just wrapped up everybody, gave everybody money, and they're awesome.
Yeah.
And they got Chris Jones back in the fold. So their defense, which was at times last year, is secure up front. How do you not have them at the top of the list?
Have you seen Cowherd is suggesting they go 16-0?
Kansas City?
Yeah.
I love Colin.
Hey, isn't he great?
Okay, so where do you have the...
Airports.
Where do you have the Bears?
Well, this is I know where the Bears are. And
Chris,
this is,
do you know where they're at?
This is training camp rankings. And everything we've heard about training camp is that there's no clear-cut winner. Foles has looked better, but ultimately they're both poop.
Okay, but here's the deal, Adam.
And like, also nobody, they signed another kicker.
Nobody was thinking either of these quarterbacks was going to make you forget about Patrick Mahomes.
No, I understand
so,
that.
So, like, your expectation level going into this training camp had to be at a reasonable level.
I get that. But if you would have heard, like, hey, Trubisky finally got it. Guess what, haters? Trubisky finally learned it. Guess what?
You're not going to get that in seven practices.
Or maybe you would have heard the other side be like, woo, Foles with Nagy?
Fine with Foles.
Lighten it up.
Well, Cody Benjamin.
They're going to be at the bottom of the list.
Cody Benjamin has them at 27.
But they've also got that kicker propaganda that they're trying to throw out there.
Yeah, you know what?
Really? Read the paragraph.
You're the only one on that.
Hold on. Wait a second. Read the paragraph.
You're the only person.
I can't read it. You're yapping.
Read the paragraph.
Welcome to my life.
This might be resolved come week one, but why in the world has their quarterback competition been so quiet? For Pete's sake, if Mitchell Trubisky won't step up now, when will he? Meanwhile, Matt Nagy is basically begging for more kicker drama to unfold.
Boom!
Is your ghostwriting name Corey Benjamin or whatever that name?
Wait, my favorite part of the show so far, you can't see it because he's not on Twitter, is the you just perfectly did repeated Matt Nagy's boom move.
I told you, this kicker propaganda, man, I told you all about it. Now it's getting to the national media. The kicker propaganda is real. Just wait for tomorrow when they've got Cairo Santos in one end zone and Eddie Pinheiro in another end zone, and they're kicking, and one's missing, and one's not, and then another one doinks, and then another one doesn't, and then that's what you're like, yeah, guess what? Foles and Trubisky were meh, but... Woo, did they miss some kicks out there at Soldier Field?
You're the only one that's got such a small football brain that you are bothered by the kicker competition.
I'm telling you.
Nobody else is bothered by that, Adam.
I'm telling you, tomorrow's the last day that the writers get to see it, and guess what they're going to watch? A whole mess of kicks.
By the way, I heard that shot in there, too, Waddle. That's fantastic.
Which
I love
one?
That. The small football brain. I agree.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
That's fine. I thought we were family here, but no, we're taking shots.
We are. When we come back, Kyle, I'll get to your call. 312-332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
That's right. The boys are back in town, and they're going to hit dingers tonight on the south side. Before we play some wagers, thanks to Adam Abdallah, who actually was able to log into my DraftKings account, which scares the crap out of me.
I think that's going to be awesome for us later on tonight.
Kyle's in River West, and he has been very patient and has a football quarterback thought for us. Kyle, hey.
What's going on? How we doing, boys?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing good. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you. Don't be a stranger.
All right. I'm a little confused while on the little panel yesterday. A lot of the Bears reporters think that Mitch is going to start, even though it feels like Foles has been a little better in camp. Like, why do they believe this? Are they hearing this from their sources? Like, I did hear the word familiarity, but that familiarity has us ranked as one of the worst offenses in the league. And this is Mitch's third offense, their third year in this offense, and he still can't outplay a guy that has had zero work with any of this offense all summer. Like, to me, it's a no-brainer. So,
Kyle, thanks for the call. Thanks for waiting. My sentiments exactly. And look, if you have a competition, a legitimate competition, and one guy wins the competition and you start the other guy, then it wasn't a competition. So I had the same exact response to the conversation that we had with the seven different media members who are covering the Bears in this quarterback competition. So I think it's very odd. And the familiarity thing to me doesn't favor Mitch. It favors Nick Foles. Nick Foles is like the new coaches that Matt brought in, Juan Castillo, John DeFilippo, Bill Lazor. They are all familiar with Nick, not familiar with Mitch. So the familiarity, I think, factor goes to Nick, not Mitch. But look, I think I know. I felt strongly when they traded for Nick that he was going to be their starter, but everything has kind of been weird and different and unlike anything we've ever seen because of COVID and the pandemic and the lack of. I said this the other day to Carmen, I think, when we were sitting in the office talking, like, don't confuse Nick Foles looking out of sorts in this offense with not understanding the offense and not being up to speed with the offense. You can be up to speed with the offense and be struggling to connect with your new group of wide receivers because you're just now getting acclimated to them. Now, I'm not giving him an excuse. I'm just giving you a feel for if you start to hear Nick Foles is looking better, had the best day of any quarterback 2 days ago. If he's looking, well, just think, he's now having more time, 7 or 8 practices in, to get acclimated with new teammates inside that offensive huddle. And also, don't discount this. He's seen this outstanding defense for the first time. Mitch has seen the majority of these players now for 3 years. So maybe that's a factor. Maybe it's not. Hell, I don't know. It just, the conversation left me a little bit curious. If everyone thinks Nick's ahead or is going to win the competition, but Mitch is going to start, then it wasn't a competition. All right. To important issues.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Adam. Adam has left the producer's booth.
And I have dingers.
We have a baseball game tonight. The Chicago White Sox, after having the day off, are hosting the Kansas City Royals. This game has been moved up an hour because of potential weather. The weather's not going to scare me. I think we have a chance to win some money now. So I'm on my DraftKings app.
After I logged you in.
After you logged me in.
To be fair, you had your name and password in. All I had to do was add the AOL at AOL.com because...
But I had tried that before and it didn't work.
Did you?
I did. I thought I
did. You use your face?
Abdallah's face. Now he can use his face. No, now he can use his face.
Is it his face or your face?
No, it's his face.
You're the one that logged in.
No, it's his face.
Could you imagine, Waddle, if every time you want to log in, you have to go up to Abdallah and show your phone to Waddle? To Abdallah's face.
How can it be my face if I wasn't, I didn't show my face?
Because your face, your phone knows your face.
I don't think so. I never set that up on my phone.
Oh, my God.
Wait, what?
No, we'll do that later. All right, here you go. Here's what I got. Kansas City Royals.
Yesterday, he tried to log in to his phone, and it said use the finger, the touch ID, and he used his index finger.
Didn't work.
Well, of course.
Well, I didn't know.
Which,
listen.
I think it can work if you set it up for your index finger, but does that.
Chances are you used your thumb.
Danny Duffy's a lefty, takes the hill tonight for the Kansas City
Royals. And he's going to get rocked.
Royals.
Yeah.
He's given up 4 dingers so far this year.
Not a lot of dingers.
The White Sox are number 3 in the league in total dingers. They're hot. They're coming off a stretch.
Dinger machine.
Dinger, 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 dinger.
Yeah.
Tonight, these are my odds.
Yeah.
For a player to hit a home run, Luis Robert is plus 375.
He is.
He's getting some of my money.
Okay.
Jose Abreu.
How much?
I'm going to put $20 a guy on this.
All right, all right.
You think?
Yeah.
Jose Abreu.
You can boost it if you do the home run and they win. But the problem is, who's pitching for the Whites?
It's Ronaldo Lopez. I'm a little itchy and scratchy about that. He doesn't get to face Cubs hitters. Whoa.
Nice.
No, he's facing the Royals.
Over there he's throwing a fan.
Jose Abreu is plus 310.
Yeah.
Eloy is plus 310.
If you're logged in and you're looking at this, why am I in here?
You got to show me how to bet. Yoan Moncada is plus 550.
What about Yes Money?
Is plus 500.
Yes Money Grandal.
I'm not going to bet on him tonight.
What about Jorge Soler?
Well, he's for the Royals.
I understand that, but dingers are dingers.
Yeah,
he could ding.
He can ding, I know. He's a big...
I hit dingers.
He's a dinger machine. I know that, but I'm gonna keep my money on the White Sox.
Solar power.
Edwin Encarnacion is plus 350.
Mm-hmm.
I think I need to sprinkle the infield with $20 a guy. I know there are other guys out there that have showed me that they're playing the same thing. Dinger, 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 dinger.
Okay.
Like, I think this is money.
I
think this is free money.
I mean,
free money's a stretch.
They're not all going to hit a home run, so you're going to lose something.
Do you know the last game they played? Who did they play? They played the Pirates. They won 10-3.
Uh-huh.
Here's your box score,
buddy. How many home runs?
Home run, Encarnacion.
One.
Dinger. Abreu.
Two. Dinger.
Dinger. Aloy.
Three.
Mendick.
Four.
Okay. So three out of the five hit dingers. If I had $20 a guy.
That's true.
I'd be up what?
Yeah, but Mendick's not on here.
I'm not going to bet him. I'm telling you, had we done this against the Pirates.
Yeah.
We would be like.
You could have.
And by the way, Trevor Williams was pitching for the Pirates. Guess what he does? He throws with his right hand.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is a left hand.
Guess what Duffy does for the Royals?
Throws his left hand.
What do my right-handed bats on the south side do?
He falls asleep in Burger King parking lots,
Stop,
too.
Stop. We're not doing that.
He did.
We're talking on the field.
Okay.
He's a lefty.
Yeah.
You don't want to bring that left-handed nonsense to Guaranteed Rate Field.
Not when it's sticky out there.
What did they? It's going to be 90 degrees. What did they do on the north side to John Lester, who's an accomplished World Series, multi-time World Series pitcher? Dinger, 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 dinger.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit dingers.
I think that, I listen, like, I'm not telling anyone to bet because, like,
If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Right. But I'm going to ignore that advice personally, and I'm going to put some money on it.
I don't think you have a gambling problem.
Yeah,
I don't.
You're just trying to figure out what's going on
here. I have 200 in my bank.
Okay. So throw a 20 on
I'm throwing
on
a 20 on all five guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Throw 20 on all five guys, and then maybe
sprinkle
the over.
What's the over?
10.
Total runs.
Mm-hmm.
They may get 10 runs themselves by five innings. Here's my other issue. It's supposed to rain.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the forecast, and I love Tracy Butler, and she's great. And
Wow.
I'm just saying. I'm just looking, because weather changes. Weather changes, bro. Weather changes, fluctuates. Winds,
especially this time.
Winds, this time of the year. Winds change. We could be
pop-up storms.
Okay, here's I got another question for you.
As of right now, I'm looking at it right
his
now.
Weather thought?
As of right now, there is a 20% precipitation possibility at 10 p.m. That's the highest it's going to be all night.
We're good. So. What if Jose hits more than one?
I once asked Tracy Butler what that means. I go, what does it mean when it's 20%? She goes, well, it means 2 out of 10 times it's going to rain.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tracy.
So if I bet $20 on Jose to hit a dinger and he hits two, do I get paid twice?
No.
Just once.
It's a single home run.
Okay.
But you can make two bets.
All right. I need to take a break right now because I need to put these bets in, and when we come back.
I thought that's why Abdallah went in there.
Yeah, we didn't accomplish anything.
I got to get a break.
You also have a read coming up, too.
I thought.
When we come back, I'll tell you the outcome of this.
And what to watch for.
Look for the ComEd lower price sticker at participating retailers near you to save instantly on energy-efficient LED bulbs from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/instantly.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Sam Adams is celebrating the return of sports to Chicago every day. We're highlighting one of the best bars in Chicagoland. Today, we salute Buddy's Bites and Brews in Mount Prospect. And right now, text Sam Adams to 31996 for your chance to win a Sam Adams summer cooler. Buddy's Bites and Brews in Mount Prospect, helping you celebrate the return of sports.
Well done. Baseball returns to action for both of our teams today. Cubs are in Cincinnati. First pitch against the Reds is scheduled for 6:10. Jesse Rogers is going to join us at 5 o'clock. He was on all the Zoom conference calls with David Ross and Jay Hay and others. He'll fill us in on where the Cubs are. And also the White Sox back in action. They are hosting the Royals. That game has been moved up first pitch to 6:10 because of weather, which Abdallah says probably isn't going to be as
well. Look, there's scattered thunderstorms, so right. Just let me be clear, my weather, the ABC weather, says that there's a 20% chance of rain. That doesn't mean that scattered thunderstorms won't pop up, because that's what they do. They're just like, guess what, it's raining.
Yeah,
all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm enjoying my little meal out on the patio. Guess what? Thunder.
Yeah.
Guess what? Lightning. Guess what? Rain.
I hope it doesn't rain, because my youngest daughter turns 17 tomorrow and we're having dinner tonight, so I don't want to get rained on. My bets are in.
Bets are in. Everything's good.
I have $20 down on all the six options. I have Grandal. I have, hold on. I'm going to give you the odds that I have on all of them and see where everyone else is as well. I'm telling you, I got a bunch of tweets from people saying that they're in as well. I got $20 to win, home run by Grandal, 20 to win 120. I got 20 to win 82 from Jose Abreu. I got 20 to win 82 for Eloy. I got 20 to win 90 from Encarnacion. And I got 20 to win 95 for Robert. I feel good about this. This is my first spin on my DraftKings Sportsbook app. So, like, thank God the governor decided that the nonsense that he was peddling before about having to be at a casino to actually sign up, this was easy.
And competition is good. You said it yourself. Competition is good.
Yeah.
Because you get all these different bonuses. So, like, you know, they offered the A+81. You know, FanDuel's offering this other one. Bet Rivers is offering one. So, like, they're all, like, in competition now, which is good.
It is.
For the consumer, because you get to take advantage of all of
so,
them. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Of course.
Should we do What to Watch For?
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Chris is trying to stand.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend
clock,
viewing
right?
With nope. What to Watch For.
What to Watch For is brought to you by me.
No. You going first? You want me to go first?
No, I'm just saying I'm sponsoring this.
That's fine.
Yeah, I'm sponsoring this What to Watch For something. This has been, and we say this all the time, this has been one of our favorite segments over the course of the last several years. A suggestion for something for me to watch, and especially when we were more locked in our houses because of the pandemic, this became really very important. I think this was a civic. I think this was a civic service from all of us to tell people what to watch.
So the reason I wanted to get to it is we have some NBA news. The Mavericks have announced that Kristaps Porzingis has a torn meniscus.
Wow! So he's out
in
for the rest
right
of
knee,
the
and yeah, play. He is ruled out for the rest of the series against the Clippers.
That NBA update is brought to you by Kia. Visit Kia.com to see what it means to give it everything, and by Bet River Sports.
Chris, he has had injury problems for a while now, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. And when he was finally playing this year, before the shutdown of the pandemic, I believe he and Luka only played a handful of games together. But they're really starting to come along, and. Yeah. And the Mavs are a dangerous team, especially when he's healthy. He is now ruled out So if I were to lead us off with what to watch for, I'm excited that basketball will be back this weekend, starting on Saturday at 2:30. Magic and the Bucks resume their series, game five of that series. The Bucks lead it 3-1. And then you get the Thunder and Rockets after that, and the Trailblazers look to stay alive against the Lakers in that series. That's the night game on TNT on Saturday.
See, there you go. I mean, basketball, it has been fantastic to watch. I mean, I think it has been, since the playoffs started, the format started, you can watch four games a day, or you have been now with teams being bounced because of, you know, losing. I think a couple teams got swept, including the 76ers. You can only see three games a day.
And on Sunday, the games that were supposed to take place on Thursday are moved to Sunday. And the important note there is game one of the next round is starting. That's the first game on Sunday. Raptors and Celtics game one of the second round series is the first game at noon on Sunday. And then after that, Clippers, Mavs, and Nuggets, Jazz. So.
Excellent. What are you watching for, Adam?
I'm going to watch a movie on demand. You got to spend a little skrilla for it, but it's the third installment. It's money. You got a problem with that, Waddle?
No, I just didn't know what it was.
You got to spend a little money on it, but it is the trilogy is complete, gentlemen. Bill and Ted Face the Music. No,
you're going to watch that?
You're damn right I'm going to watch it. I love that crap. I love it. It's awful, and I love it. I don't care. Shake your heads. You know what's highbrow comedy? Step Brothers is highbrow comedy. You know what's highbrow comedy? Wow. Whatever other Will Ferrell, whatever garbage he pukes up this week.
Straight at you, Waddle. I'm the one that he should be going at. He's going at you.
What I'm watching for,
I'm watching Batman Begins for the 20th time.
Tonight is Dingerfest. Dingerfest, August version. As the White Sox host the Royals, I think that's going to be a really entertaining game. I have money on the game. I think having the Chicago Cubs visit the Queen City, I'll have my eye on that game. Okay, so I'm going to be watching dual baseball games for our team. And also, I watched the first episode last week of an HBO documentary called The Vow about a cult.
Oh.
If you are into
it's new.
Being informed about cults, I think, but I don't know. But I think only one episode is out, and I believe the second episode is out this Sunday, if not.
Did you watch the documentary on HBO about Scientology?
Yes, I did. I also was watching the one that Leah Remini was doing on, I believe it was A&E. Really interesting. Very interesting.
Help me out. At the start of the pandemic, was there a cult documentary on Netflix?
Well, there was that one that I think was from a couple of years ago.
That was a couple of years ago?
Lovecraft Country or whatever?
Yeah, not Lovecraft Country.
I know what you're talking about. It's the one about in the 70s.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that was a couple of years. That was like a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Time moves fast.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what to watch for. When we come back, Jesse joins us. Obviously, the Cubs are back in action tonight. They are in Cincinnati taking on the Reds. He'll fill us in on that. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Thanks to our friends at Legal Rideshare.